Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Sing my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending. Submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the
Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart! Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Thank you, Tracy, for a good job on both of those songs. How great thou art. Truly, he is a great God and one that's deserving of every bit of our praise. Thank you for those songs. I want to use some scripture this morning that may be just a little different than usually, and I guess my thought this morning would be a question which the Lord asked of all of his disciples. In the past, I've preached on the question that he asked the Apostle Peter whenever he said to him, "Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me?" And of course, you remember that the Apostle Peter on that occasion had indicated, yes, he did. He loved him more than anything else. And the Lord told him what he wanted him to do. There's an old saying that I've used many, many times, and I think it's still true today. I can see you, but I can't hear you. I think many times what we do versus what we say are not necessarily always in agreement, and sometimes we see things out of people that are different than what they're saying. Jesus asked his disciples this question. He said, "Will ye also go away? Will you also go away?" And I want us to look this morning from the word of the Lord as to what the setting was and why Jesus would ask his disciples such a question. Many times as the Lord was here upon the earth and he had usually always a group of people following him, very seldom in the word do you find where that he was alone. There are a few occasions where that he was alone, especially after he began his public ministry, and that's the part that we know most about. However, there were people who knew him as a child, and it's recorded in this particular chapter, sixth chapter of the book of John, that they still recognize him as being the son of Joseph the carpenter and not as the son of God. But for the most part, most of the time, Jesus had a group, had a following. People followed him for many different reasons, as people do today. There are many people who follow the Lord for different reasons, some for the right reason, some for the wrong reason. And I'm confident of this, that each and every one of us, when we stand before the great I Am, are going to give an account for ourselves and not for anyone else. So I think that it's important that we know why that we are following the Lord, if we are following Him. And if we're not following Him, we also need to be able to recognize that. But this group of people were following the Lord, and they'd been with Him out here. They had listened to Him as He was teaching His disciples and as He was teaching the multitudes. And on the one occasion, there was such a crowd of them, and they were so intrigued with what He was saying and what was going on that it got late in the evening. It was impossible for them to be able to return home. And so Jesus had turned to His disciples and asked if they had any provisions there. And you may remember that they had just a skimpy amount. But the Lord took and blessed that, multiplied it, and so that there were thousands of people who were fed because of the miracle. But I want you to notice what Jesus said unto these people when they came to Him and were talking. And He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek Me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." He said, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." Now, what Jesus effectively was saying there, you weren't following Me for the miracles that I perform. You weren't believing in that. You were out there just to be fed, naturally speaking. And so I think that that's probably still true today, that there are many people who are not really concerned about the spiritual aspect of their lives. They're more concerned about the physical and what's in it for them. But I want you to think about what Jesus said. And I'm going to read to you from the 6th chapter of the book of John this morning. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst." Now, I want you to know that very carefully what Jesus is saying. He said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he shall that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out." It's important that we understand this morning that God, whenever that He made man and He placed him here and made provision for him and knew that that time was going to come, that we were going to need a Redeemer, we were going to need redemption, that He and the Son had already agreed that Jesus the Christ was going to come, that He was going to live here, He was going to become acquainted with man, He was going to die upon the cross, He was going to be resurrected, and then He promised that He would not leave us alone, but that He would give us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so we have the Holy Spirit today. That is God among us today, and that is His presence in our lives, is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, as He was here, so said, "I am the bread of life. I am the one that if you come to Me, you will never hunger. And if you come to Me, you will never thirst." And He also said this, "Ye have seen Me and believe not." Now remember last Sunday, I talked about the disciples who did not believe, who doubted. And certainly there were people who were doubting. But Jesus said, "You have not believed Me and have not believed in Me." I want you to listen now. He said, "For all that the Father giveth shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out." One of the things that I found over time is that many times when people are seeking the Lord, and I believe in that. I believe that whenever that God convicts a person, whenever that He condemns them of sin and lets them know that they're lost and they need to be saved, that they seek the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord will lead them. He's a perfect leader. He's never misled anyone. Unfortunately, many times, we try to get involved in that process and we want to give them what our opinion is, what our instructions are to them. And I think many times that we mean well. But by the same token, there is no substitute for the Spirit of the Lord in leading the lost to the foot of the cross to where they can be saved. And that's what it takes. It takes the individual getting all the way to the foot of the cross. It takes God giving them enough of His presence, of His Spirit, enough faith to believe to the saving of their soul. And the difficult thing for many times for us to believe is that God can save, that He will save, and that He does save. And we always are thinking that it's going to be out there in the future somewhere. Even when we were lost, We didn't doubt that God could save people. The problem was that we just did not believe He could save us right now. And that's what it takes. It gets that point to where that you believe He can do it right now. We also, because we were lost, did not understand all of what the Word of the Lord was saying and the promises that God was making any more than lost people do today. And we just need to understand that it's not the responsibility of lost people to know these things, but it is the responsibility of us as a child of God that we know these things, that we understand these things, and that we help those individuals as much as we can. We know for a fact that God is not going to forsake us nor leave us. Now, I've proved that many, many times in my life that He never, ever has ever forsaken me or left me. I've gotten away from Him. I've strayed from Him many, many times. But there He is always there. I am still His child. And He said in His Word, I will never thirst. I will never hunger. Again, after that, He became the bread of my life. But I want you to understand this morning that Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father hath given Him. Now, I recognize it's not very popular today to preach that there are a chosen people, but there are. That's just a fact from the Word of the Lord that God knew before the foundation of the earth, every single one of us that were going to come to Him and that He was going to be able to save us. Jesus said, the Father hath given these to me, and any that He has given to me, I shall in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven. Now listen to what Jesus is saying. He said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. You see, when Jesus came down here, He didn't come down here to do the will, His own will. He said, but the will of Him that sent me. So whenever I stand and I preach to you and I say that Jesus came as a servant, He came as a servant in the sense that He came to do the will of His Father. He came here to do what He and the Father had already agreed before the foundation of the world that He was going to do at some time in the future. And when that time was right, He came. But He came, He said, not to do His own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Now listen, and this is the Father's will. I love how that God in His Word many times don't only tell us what, as Jesus was saying here, He came to do the will of His Father. Now then He's going to tell us what the will of the Father is. Now listen to what He says. And this is the Father's will, which He has sent me, that of all which He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What's the will of the Father? The will of the Father was that all of those that He had given unto the Son, that the Son would not lose any of them, not one of them. Every single one that God has given unto the Son is going to keep. Now, there's a qualifier on this that I'll read a little later here. But I want you to listen to what Jesus is saying as He speaks to this group of people. He says, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. This is the second thing that He talks about, is the will of the Father. I want you to listen to that again very carefully. He said, this is the will of my Father which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose none of them. Number one. Number two, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him. I remember Paul, when he was writing, said, he that believeth not is he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I've stood and I've preached, and I believe, and I think it's taught in the Word of the Lord, that is the sin that damns the soul of men to hell. It's not all of these other things that we like to enumerate. We all like to talk about what all the sins are that are going to send people to hell. There's one sin that sends people to hell. That's the sin of unbelief. Unbelief, plain and simple. And that can be pretty complicated, but if we could just understand that it's not all of these other things. And I'm not saying those things are right. Please don't misunderstand me there, because the Bible very clearly talks about what is sin, and we can spend the rest of our life probably in going through and defining all the things according to the Word of God that are sin. But the sin that damns the soul of men to eternal hell is the sin of unbelief. Jesus said, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now then, the Bible says, the Jews then murmured to him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Now, that's pretty alien to a lot of people. There are a lot of people who have this idea that you can just be saved anytime you want to, that all you've got to do is just make up your mind and read the particular verses that says, "I confess I'm a sinner, and I know I believe in you, God." Listen, I want you to hear what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to him, Jesus, except the Father which has sent me draw him." I'm convinced this morning that just as God allows us to live, he also is responsible for each one coming to that point in their life to where that they know they're lost. And we call that the age of accountability. Now, you don't hear that term used much anymore, but it certainly is still a legitimate term. It's one that probably we should be using more than we are, especially among God's people, to recognize that there comes a point in every individual's life when God reveals to them they are lost. Now, as God reveals that unto them, he also is going to be the one who's going to, he's convicted them, he's going to lead them by the Holy Spirit, and he is also going to be the one who's going to save them. And as he lets them know they're lost, he's also going to let them know when they are saved. I'm convinced of that with everything there is about me, that he is the one who is a perfect leader and that he does that. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." How's he going to draw him? By the Holy Spirit that he left here in the world. "And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life." Now, this is Jesus speaking. "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now then, this caused for a lot of controversy, what Jesus said. There were a lot of people who didn't understand all that. I'm going to be very honest with you, and I would suspect that some of you, as you listen to me read this, and I read it rather rapidly, just because of the constraints of time, but you need to go home and you need to read it again. You need to sit down and look at this, put it in perspective. You need to put it into where it belongs in the Word of the Lord. I don't want you to just pull it out, but I want you to see that it's consistent with what God teaches throughout His Word. I'm a firm believer in God's Word. I believe that it's true. I believe that it's accurate. I believe that it's what we can bank on. And just because I don't understand it all, just because that I'm not able to comprehend it all, does not mean it is not God's Word and that it isn't correct, because it still is. And I believe that with everything there is about me. But anyway, when the people began to hear this, you know, this was kind of alien to them. This was difficult for them. And some of them just simply rejected it. Now, I want you to listen then. Jesus goes ahead, and I'm skipping a few verses because I want to go on over, and I want to get through here. But there are some of you that believe not. Now, this is Jesus. Let me back up. I need to get another couple. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" This is a hard saying. Some of the disciples said, "You know, this is kind of tough what Jesus has been saying." He said, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." He said that before. "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And then he said, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" What are you going to do if you see him go back into heaven as he was before? Now, you may remember that when the Lord then finally ascended back to heaven, that the disciples were out there gazing and watching as he went back. And they heard a voice from heaven saying, "Why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? Why are you standing here idle? Why are you standing here? There's work for you to do." But anyway, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Again, Jesus is trying to point out to these people that some of the things that he's talking about, he's not talking about them naturally eating his body or drinking of his blood. This again is spiritual that he's talking about. Whenever that we observe the Lord's Supper, we're not literally taking the body of the Lord, or we're not literally taking the blood of the Lord when we do that. It's symbolic as to what we're doing. But that's what Jesus is saying here. I'm speaking to you in spiritual terms. "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him." Now, here again, there's just a little thing in there that so many times I think people have a tendency to look over. Listen to what he said. "For Jesus knew from the beginning." You know, there was no surprise to the Lord that Judas was going to be the one to betray him. Jesus knew from the beginning what was going to happen. The foreknowledge of God. "And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." So many of the people, when they heard these things, it was too hard for them to understand. It was too difficult for them to want to make that commitment. And the Bible says that many of them turned and went away. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away?" I think many times of Gideon, whenever I read something like this, and I think about how the Lord must have felt, because he was acquainted with everything that we experience here. As he saw this multitude of people, as he saw this crowd, as he had been teaching them, and they start one by one going away. You know, it would have had to been tough. When Gideon had all of those people, and the Lord had told him, okay, here's how I want you to separate them out. I want you to tell those people who are afraid to turn around and go back home. And man, you know, thousands and thousands of them took and went home. He only had a short list left. And when he looked at those that were left, he must have thought, my goodness. And the Lord said, Gideon, you still got too many people. You still got too many. You got to separate them again. It's very difficult for us today to accept the word of the Lord as it is written. And a lot of our people won't. A lot of our people simply are going to let it say what they want it to say. There are going to be some of them who are going to make it say what they want it to say. And there are going to be a very few who are going to stand true to the word of the Lord. Jesus, whenever that these people begin to go away, he turned to those 12 men, though, whom he had chosen. He turned to them and he said, will you also go away? Are you going to go away? And I want you to listen, and I'm going to close very quickly with this, because that's a question that probably each one of us must ask ourselves. Are we going to continue to be faithful unto the Lord? And listen to what Simon Peter, my favorite character in the word of the Lord, and certainly a man that I can relate to in many respects. I'm not nearly as good as he was, and I don't have as good answers as he had sometimes. I'm more apt to be like he was whenever he was wrong. But anyway, Jesus said, will you also go? Now listen, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? If we go away, who are we going to go to? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, when Jesus asked those 12 men, he said, we also go away? Peter said, who will we go to? You are the one who has the words of eternal life. You are the one. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Son of God, the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Now, a lot of times people say to me whenever I talk about Judas, and they want to know about him, and I said, well, he was a devil from the beginning. He says, oh, how do you know that? Well, I don't know it, excepting that Jesus said, have I not chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil? Now, we could get into a big philosophical discussion and debate here as to whether or not he was always a devil or whether he became a devil at some point in time here. I don't know that there is an answer to that, but I do know that Jesus identified him as being a devil. And he spake of Judas Iscariot. I see his name's in here. The son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now I want to close not with Judas, because Judas was living exactly as the other 11 were. There was not a single soul outside of the Lord and Judas himself who knew that traitor was. Jesus knew who he was long before he was ever identified. I'm convinced Judas knew all the time. But he lived his life exactly as those 11 disciples did. There was no distinction. There was no point in his life that appeared to be any different than the other 11. And so when it came time and Jesus said, one of you this night shall betray me, every one of those disciples said, Lord, am I the one? Am I the one? Now, my question to you this morning is, if Jesus were to say to you today, will you also go away? Will you also go away? Yes, some of the things that he teaches his heart. Some of his work is difficult. Some of the things that he asks of us and he demands of us to be a servant of his. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of my Father that sent me. He didn't just save us to escape hell. He saved us to serve and to tell other people about him. And our people need to understand that. Our people need to be able to say, here am I, Lord, send me. And I hope that as you read this scripture again, go back and read the entire chapter. I don't want you to just read the verses that I read. You need to read the entire chapter and read plus that. But certainly, we need to be challenged to say, Lord, am I willing to go with you? Or am I going to go back because some of the things are tough? Thank you for your good attention, for your presence. Tracy, come lead us in our... Well, we're not going to lead us. You're going to sing our closing song.
To